current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome in to Signs of the Times. That's our weekly look at Bible prophecy that we find in the world's news for Friday, September 6th, 2019, along with Pastor Mark Kirk. I'm Greg Hill. Thanks for taking time out of your Friday, or maybe it's some other day as you're listening to episode 94 of our podcast and taking part in what we're discussing, thinking about it, seeing for yourself if these things aren't so, asking us questions. You can do all those things at our website, thesigns.org, and you can also tweet us on Twitter, and our handle is @prophecyhelp. So, Pastor Mark, welcome to the program.
Great to be here.
Today, Monday was Labor Day. Interestingly, I did not know this. 1882, I shouldn't learned this in history, or maybe I didn't, I forgot. The year of the inaugural Labor Day celebration was in 1882, when 10,000 workers assembled in New York City for a parade. Nowadays, we call that a protest.
Yes. So
and in 1894 was the year Congress officially made the first Monday in September a federal holiday here in the U.S.
Hmm.
So a long time ago.
Well, that is a long time. That's fun stuff to know.
It is very fun stuff to know. And today, Friday, September 6th, is National Read a Book Day. You know, and nowadays, and with, we talk about technology on this show a lot. It used to be you just had the book. And remember that, what was that video, the book, the tech support for a book? Remember that?
It's medieval tech support.
Medieval tech support,
yes.
Look that up. Yeah. It's funny. Anyway, but nowadays you got a Kindle, you can iPhone, iPad, audiobooks, all sorts of ways that you can digest a book.
Yes.
And speaking of which, there's all sorts of ways that you can digest our program, The Signs of the Times. You can find some of those ways on our website, thesigns.org. You can get us through Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and now we're on iHeartRadio. So if you're one of the 1.2 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, you can search for Signs of the Times in the podcast section of your app, and then you can take us with you wherever you go.
That's cool.
Yes,
that's awesome.
Is.
That's
yes,
making it more available in more places and reaching more people.
Yes, it is. Okay, so before we get to your main topics for this half hour,
we have
a question.
Okay.
That came to us from one of our listeners, Becky, and she asked a very interesting question.
Yes.
When we think about when we die, or the points of entry that the Bible talks about in heaven. So one point of entry would be a non-prophetic time, just like when it's your time to go, boom. The rapture is a prophetic time.
Right.
When people will go to heaven. Post-rapture, maybe during the Great Tribulation. Or maybe during the millennial kingdom.
Right.
So the question is, at which of those points do we get our new bodies? Is it the time of our physical death, regardless of when that time is? Is it at the second coming of Christ when Jesus comes back? Or is it some other time, or is it any of those times?
No, those are great questions, and again, something I'm sure a lot of our listeners have. So it's good to address this on the air for everybody. It's almost one of those questions that may not satisfy you as much as you want to be satisfied. You know, the Bible doesn't give us all the details, but here's the reason I say it may not satisfy as much as you'd want. There are really basically two schools of thought, and you have great scholars on both sides. There are some scholars and pastors who believe the moment you die, you get your new body. And they base that off of where Paul's talking about in Corinthians, where if you plant a seed in the ground, what comes out of the ground is not the same as what was planted. And he uses it to talk about the different kind of bodies that we have and that we'll have a new body in heaven. That's the context. You know, stars are one way, fish are one way, man is one way, the earth. And he uses that and says, yeah, even as a seed's planted, it comes out different. So they say, because it's the seed and the seed transforms into something else, that it's still a part of that seed. You know, the dust is actually gathered together. And then when you die, you get your new body. And actually, that probably applies better to the rapture on this point that I'm making. But the first school of thought is you get your new body right when you die. And they just kind of say, that's just how it is. You die, you get your new body. There's not a real...
To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Right,
is...
but your spirit's present with the Lord. So here's the thing. It still comes up wanting. It doesn't. In other words, you can't find a scripture that says the moment you die, you get a brand new body. You won't find one that says that. You will find that it says we're with him, but it doesn't say we have a body. So some believe you're just there in spirit. And I believe there's merit to that. For example, I think that all those that are there before us, David, Elijah, Elisha, all them, they're there with the Lord, but only in spirit. Why? Because the Lord says he's going to deal with everybody as one, the body of Christ at one time. And then it comes into play in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where it talks about we'll all be with the Lord and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain will meet the Lord in the air and will forever be with the Lord. So the blanket answer is we don't know for sure. The first theory is as soon as you die, you get it. The second theory I lean more toward myself, and that is we will all get our new bodies at the rapture. Again, neither of them are 100% provable, but the reason I lean toward the new body at the rapture is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that I already mentioned. And that is, it says the dead in Christ will rise first. That's a very confusing statement, because aren't they already with the Lord? Well, yeah, they are. We know they are. The Bible tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So they're with the Lord. So what does it mean?
The dead in
Christ will rise first. What does that mean? They've already risen. They're with him. Then it says, then we who are alive and shall remain will join them and meet the Lord in the air. So you see God almost like with his kids. So you were here first. You get to go first. Now you guys get to go because they were already waiting.
So that almost sounds like the rapture.
Well, that is the rapture.
Okay.
But that is definitely the context of
okay.
the rapture.
Gotcha.
But within the context of the rapture, I find it intriguing, and it makes me lean toward that's when we get our new bodies for this reason. When the rapture happens, the dead in Christ rise first. What does that mean? I think that means they get their new body because they're already with the Lord. They're with him now. They're there in spirit. Okay. So the dead in Christ rising first, boom, they have the new body. Then we get raptured. Boom, we have our new body. And I believe we'll all have our new bodies at the same time, them slightly ahead of us because God, they've been waiting so long. And then we're all there in the kingdom.
So they're with the Lord, meaning in heaven?
Yeah.
Not in the holding tank.
No, no, no one's
that,
in the...
That was, yeah, because some people might get... Because he went to go visit that after his resurrection.
Yeah, no, let me explain that. Let's take the time on this. It's great, and as long as it takes, it takes. Again, some may not even realize that the Bible talked about a temporary holding tank. I know when I first came to the Lord, that was a shock to me. But in Luke, it tells us that there's a place that before Jesus Christ died on the cross, let's establish this. Before he died on the cross, no one could go to heaven. Jesus said, no one goes to the Father but by me, and that through the cross, we know is through the cross. So what happened to David and Elijah and all these guys before the cross? Well, they couldn't go to be with the Father in heaven because nobody could go there yet. That door was opened through the cross after Jesus came. So where did they go? Well, it tells us. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 16. He gives a story of a rich man and another believer named Lazarus. It's interesting. People say, why didn't he name the rich man? Because the Bible says that the unrighteous, his name will be forgotten forever.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
So
yeah.
We don't get his name because it's forgotten forever. But we have the righteous, and there he is. So, you know, he talks about this whole holding tank, and they're talking back and forth. One's in Hades, one's in paradise. Those in Hades are the unbelievers. They're held till judgment day. Those in paradise were the believers before the cross, the believers before Christ. So there they are talking. You have the whole picture. So when Jesus died, it says he descended to the lowest part of the earth and led captivity captive. So what he did was when he left the cross that day, remember he told the man on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Well, they both left the cross, went down to the heart of the earth where it says this holding tank was, this Hades and paradise, the good and the evil. He went into paradise and he spent 3 days there in the heart of the earth. Isn't that interesting? He didn't go to heaven yet. So it would appear from what little we have based on scripture, they were just basically having a huge celebration. He was saying, here I am. I'm your Messiah. It's done. Everybody's rejoicing, having a blast while the Lord is waiting to finish his 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth before he rises from the dead. Then the Bible says the Lord rises from the dead and he brought them with him. So it emptied out paradise. It totally emptied out. And that's why the strange passage in Matthew where it says when the Lord resurrected, some bodies of saints got up out of their graves and walked around Jerusalem. A lot of people miss that scripture.
But I never put the two together.
Oh, yeah.
So this it very well is the people that were in the holding tank with Jesus are the ones that got up.
Well, some.
Some,
in other
okay.
words, if you had just died, okay, if you had just died and your body had not yet decayed, so this would have only been the people, the only ones that could have gotten up and walked around Jerusalem were those who had died in the last couple of days.
Right.
But take all those who had died in the last 2 or 3 days, hadn't decayed.
Yeah.
They now go down to Hades for 2 or 3 days. Hey, it's the Lord. And then all of a sudden they come right back up with him. Well, all the rest of them are spirits. They don't have a body to go into. So they're just with the Lord in spirit. But these guys go, there's my body. And for whatever the reason, he let them go in their body.
Yeah.
They got up and walked around Jerusalem. Didn't tell us what they did, no doubt. Share the gospel with people, their family, whatever. And then after that, they went back, probably back to their tomb, probably just laid back down. They didn't die again. That is probably when it was up, the Lord said, that's enough, no more time. They would have laid down, their spirit just would have floated right out of their body.
Right,
and then they're all
right.
together again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And basically it says that during the 40 days after the resurrection, when the Lord was appearing and disappearing, all of the, get this is a wild thing to think about. Nobody had gone to heaven yet. Because it says the Lord didn't even ascend until 40 days later.
Right.
Well, they couldn't ascend until he went because he was the door. So what it tells us is all of the unbelieving saints were in spirit. As the Lord appeared and everywhere he went, you couldn't see him.
All the believing
saints. But they
saints.
Were surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, yeah. literally, all around everybody, with Jesus as he traveled. They were there with the disciples. They were there on the Galilee. They were all there together, just like going, this is awesome. And then the Lord ascended. They all went with him, and they're all now in heaven. And I believe they'll get their bodies at the rapture, and we'll get ours right after that.
Okay. Now, speaking of the body specifically, one of our listeners, Dave, reached out to me and asked the question, are those bodies, are those new bodies
yeah.
that the Bible says we're going to get,
right?
Are they indestructible?
Yeah, it would appear so. Absolutely. Because again, it says, well, you know, there's no indication that they're not going to be. We get our new body and it says we'll be eternal. So I would think
so they're going to be disease free.
Oh, yes.
You know,
oh, yeah.
They're just, calories will not affect the body.
You can eat all you want and just enjoy.
You can tell what we're concerned
enjoy.
About.
Enjoy. That's
yes.
right. It's just going to be a great thing. And again, I think we're, you know, I don't want to limit. I think these bodies are going to be so amazing. We can't believe it. But we know that Jesus,
yeah.
when he had his new body, he walked through walls. And so they're going to apparently be outside of the dimension of the limits of the physical realm.
I would imagine so,
visible.
Especially in the millennial reign. Yeah,
yeah. And yet they're visible. So
yeah.
we'll be there. We'll be real. We'll be eating. We'll be touching, we'll be feeling, but there's going to be a supernaturalness to them. So we don't have all the details, but what we have is pretty exciting, actually. So,
oh,
anyway.
Actually, you want to know what? I misread the question.
Oh, okay.
Do unbelievers get indestructible bodies? So that would be, I'm assuming we're talking about bodies in the millennial kingdom.
Yes. Well, no. I mean, he may be talking about the bodies in Hades.
Oh, in
and
Hades.
And the bodies in the eternal lake of fire.
Is that what you're talking about, Dave?
My
Did
guess
you keep
would,
reaching out to
yeah,
us?
Yeah, my guess would be that. But here's the bottom line, Greg. You know, I don't know whether, is it a body or just in spirit? Here's what I know. They're going to feel. Because in Hades, remember the rich man was in Hades and he said,
and he definitely felt.
I'm tormented in this heat.
Yeah.
And the Lord says there'll be an eternal punishment, so they will feel, it would give us the suggestion that they indeed do get a new body, or if they don't, there'll be an unembodied spirit, but they're still going to have feelings and perception and all the agonies
lake,
of being separated from the Lord.
In the lake of fire.
Yeah, and
yeah.
down in Hades, which
yeah.
they are now. Remember,
right.
paradise has been emptied out, and they're all in heaven. Hades still has everybody
so
that
these
died
guys
as
are
an
looking,
unbeliever.
These guys are looking over the chasm, and they're looking at an empty room, so to speak.
They are, and you know,
right.
you know what might even be worse? They may
wow.
be looking at a room that's all decorated up in paradise. It may probably be beautiful.
I mean, oh.
God said it was a paradise. He didn't
yeah,
say that he destroyed the paradise. He just said everybody
point.
Moved out. So
yeah.
it's almost like living next door to a mansion that you can see in all the windows, and there's all the food and the special things and all that you got there, and you're over here in this place of torment that you can never leave. That would make it even more a place of torment. So, boy, more all the more reason
yeah.
to plead with mankind to repent yeah. and come to Jesus Christ.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Because that's forever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's forever.
Yeah.
There's no way out.
Anyway.
That's what the
great,
Bible says.
Great question.
Very
right.
great question.
All right. So you've got a couple of things, Pastor Mark, to share with us regarding what's on your heart for this week.
Yes. I want a couple things. I want to first hit again. We talked some about climate change and guns last week, but it came up again. I think we're in. Remember, the Bible talked about it's going to be like contractions, like a woman in birth pangs in the last days. I believe we're in a contraction where climate change and guns are the ultimate result of it, although that's not really what it's about. Again, remember, we're talking a spiritual battle. And remember, the Bible says in the last days, Satan is going to raise up someone, give him power. He's going to be a world leader. We call him the Antichrist out of Europe. And the whole world is going to come under his authority and unite under him. Well, you ever wonder, how is that going to happen? How would the whole world unite under him? There has to be a worldwide uniting cause. And again, I believe, my personal belief, because of how it's being used right now and the way it's growing in intensity, and because of how close I believe we are to the last days, I believe the climate change issue is the issue that Satan is using and will use to unite the entire world. And you say, well, Mark, how does this unite the entire world? Well, remember, the entire world is now coming together for a cause. We even have treaties. I mean, the France Treaty was so that the whole world would come together and for this cause to save the planet. And so what happens is, if we're all in a common cause to save the planet, then we have to let go of our individual constitutions and the individuality of each nation so that we can all unite together as a team working together to fight this problem that may destroy mankind. So I believe that Satan is using this. Now, let me just give you some peace about this whole climate thing. Look, temperatures may be changing up and down. I'm not going to get into arguments about that and the science of anything. From my understanding is there's science that backs both sides, and depends on your political view which science you accept and which science you reject. But with that said, let me just say this. God is the one holding the planet together, not man. And man can't destroy it. How do I know that? Because God said, the Bible says in Colossians, that Jesus Christ holds all things together by his power. So there's nothing man can do to destroy the environment. There's nothing we can do to destroy God's creation. God said he's going to hold it in place until he decides to take care of it. And here's what's interesting about this whole thing, kind of ironic. Not only has God promised to hold it all together and to keep everything running until he fulfills his purpose, which means we don't need to worry. Everybody can just relax and take a deep breath and quit freaking out and being afraid, which is just being used for political reasons. But here's the odd thing. It's not going to be mankind that destroys the environment. The Bible says it will be God. During the Great Tribulation, God will burn all the green trees, all the green grass. God will pollute the oceans with what would appear to be meteors or asteroids flying in and striking the oceans. God will cause these fires all over the planet. It is God doing it as God's judgment during the Great Tribulation. And so the environment is going to be destroyed. But it's not going to be by mankind, the Bible says. It's going to be by God himself. So there's no way man can destroy it. God won't let it happen. God won't allow that to happen. So no matter what you drive or what you eat or how many cows you have, we're going to be fine. We know that as Christians. Now, the world doesn't know that, but we know that. And then when the judgment does come, it'll be God destroying the environment. He'll be the one doing it. Now, you say, why would God destroy the environment? Again, because God, again, man is now beginning to worship the environment. You brought up Romans 1, Greg. It says that mankind, when they turn from God, they begin to worship nature. So a lot of the climate push stuff, I believe Satan is using as to get man away from God and almost as a worship toward nature and the planet, etc. Yeah. And even like God judged the gods of Egypt when he set the children of Israel free, God's going to judge the gods of mankind in the last days, which will be the climate, yeah, the green movement, all these things. And so he'll do that. But when he's done, the Bible says, well, then the planet will never be. No, relax. We'll be in heaven during that, after the rapture, and enjoying the wedding supper of the Lamb. But then the Bible says when the Lord comes back in the second coming, we all come with him. And Greg, yeah, he will systematically recreate, so to speak. He will refresh and revive the earth. The greenery will come back. Even the deserts, it says, will spring to life with greenery. The oceans will be purified by his power. And we will have a pristine kind of Adam and Eve type earth for the most part during that 1,000 years that Jesus rules and reigns. So that's kind of the whole picture of that.
You know, we can go back to Genesis and really just see the beginning of God, you could say, destroying his creation or rearranging his creation, however you want to say it. But we can take a look at the flood.
Yeah.
You know, the flood was a globally catastrophic,
yeah,
event.
That was not green friendly.
In that sense.
And God did it.
And God, exactly. And God did it. So we, yeah, can go back to Genesis to see the first time,
yeah,
that God did that. And then go through scripture to see all the other times he's done those things. And what came to my mind as you were making the descriptions of what's going to be happening that Revelation tells us is I've got to wonder to what extent God is going to use volcanic activity,
yeah,
to accomplish a lot of what he said prophetically, not just in the Great Tribulation, but we've often hypothesized that that's how he's going to fill in the descriptions of Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Yeah, very possibly. I mean, he could use it in warfare, which would be 38 and 39 from those dormant volcanoes in northern
Sodom
Israel.
Sodom and Gomorrah was...
another one, yeah.
That's another one.
And again, also, we know there's going to be a darkening of the skies during the Great Tribulation. A third of the sun, a third of the moon will be darkened, etc. And some believe that that will not only be all the burning fires from where God causes all the, you know, the forest to burn up, Amazon and everything else. This also could be...
Oh, now how am I going to get my stuff?
Well, again, that's just it. You Amazon's burned up.
Okay.
You can't.
Sorry.
You can't do it.
I couldn't.
I know. I thought about that when I said it.
I know.
But anyway. But also volcanoes. You know, when they explode on a large scale, they also block the atmosphere. So a lot of the atmospheric things that are going to happen could be connected to volcanoes as well. Now the second thing that Satan. That's how Satan's uniting the world. And that's why I bring that up, because it's kind of contracting right now. I truly believe this is going to be the way he's going to unite it, through climate change. I believe that. Because that's the thing that's dominating the world stage.
It's a global unity. It really is.
Yeah, which means we have to lay down our sovereignty to be a part of it, and our president refused to do that. Right now, God's, I believe, using our nation to hold it back. Until it's time.
Yeah, until
he'll let it go.
Yeah.
But there's another thing, and these things go way beyond. See, these are being used politically, and I want to make this statement. This goes way above politics, that is guns. Why I believe that Satan is also pushing to remove guns from the hands of the people. And why would I say that? Because the Antichrist has to control mankind worldwide. If mankind is armed, you can't control him. Now, you can kill him, take his gun from him or his weapon. If it's a nation, you can blow the nation up and take their military away. It's not the issue of a gun. Here's the issue. The issue is the ability to defend oneself and fight. And what a military does for a nation is the same thing a gun does for an individual. It gives a nation and an individual the ability to fight and defend oneself. That cannot stand in the last days. It has to be removed. Because in order to be able to dominate a people, you have to be able to take away their ability for self-defense. We saw Hitler, as we mentioned last week, he did this in Germany. He passed laws to remove everyone's weapons. Once the weapons were all removed, he controlled the nation and began to put his own people to death, as well as millions of Jews, and tried to control the entire world. Now you're seeing, I believe, a spiritual push again by the demonic realm to remove guns. America's a big personal defender nation, and you're seeing this take place. It's got to be taken away. Now, what do I mean? The contractions. You're seeing, again, San Francisco, some committee in San Francisco, and who really cares, but they did this. They declared the NRA a terrorist organization. Now, that's crazy. They're just defending the Second Amendment in the Constitution. Terrorist organizations don't defend the U.S. Constitution. So the whole thing is absurd. However, it shows you the spiritual, the political nature and the spiritual nature behind it. So what I'm saying is this. I believe that America's Constitution will eventually have to either be changed or dissolved in order for us to unite in this whole climate thing worldwide. And the second thing that has to happen in America is our guns have to be taken away. I know some of you are stomping up and down. It'll never happen to, you know, Granny with a rifle. Over my dead body, Jed, you know. And a lot of people have that attitude. But it's going to happen. You're going to see our Constitution either neutralized, removed, or changed. And you're also going to see guns eventually taken away. Now, right now, you're not going to see that. Our president wouldn't allow that. And there's a lot of people in America that wouldn't allow it. But I'm telling you, we're one election away. We are one election away with the right leader in the White House and the right people in the Congress and the Senate. Guns can be removed from the American people almost overnight. Now, it can be outlawed overnight. It would take a while to remove them. And no doubt that would be a very arduous task and maybe even in some regions of the country, bloody. But I believe that it's going to happen.
That would be ironic.
Yeah, I believe it's going to happen. I believe it has to happen in order for this to take place. So I wanted to mention that. I don't know, Gray, if I have time. You have something you're going to make?
No, I was just going to say gun control only usually turns out well for those that control the guns.
Yeah, and again, but remember, it's a much higher, again, the agenda here we're talking about is much higher than climate change. It has to do with Satan trying to control the world through the Antichrist.
Yeah. And he's got to neutralize everyone in order to control everyone.
Same thing with guns and even militaries. If you change constitutions where everybody can lay their sovereignty down and get guns out of the hands of people, then he can control the masses. That's going to be the goal.
Well, you know, as this cruise ship of life that we talk about turns slowly, you know, we can go back really to the 1960s to see really the final push towards what we're seeing happen prophetically right now.
Yeah.
At least in our country, and I mean, this is all globally too. And I think it probably globally it happened before the 1960s in Europe and other countries. But once we took God, the Bible and prayer out of our public school system, we've seen now, I don't know how many generations since 1961 and 1962.
It depends on the scale you go on. A general scale, biblically, you'll say 40 years. So you're looking at two generations almost.
Okay. So in almost two generations, you've got people thinking that human beings are Mr. Potato Heads.
Yeah.
You know, that they can, you can just interchange our gender, you know, in our minds, that there is no God, worshiping nature, holding other life forms above human life in terms of a sanctity of life.
Yeah.
You know, the list goes on. I mean, and we know that evolution's been around a lot longer than the 1960s or the theory of it from Darwin. But where we are today in the mindset in our country and in our world, we would never think even a generation ago how we would get there.
Yeah.
So as the cruise ship continues to turn in the prophetic direction, you know, maybe a lot of these things that you're talking about too are going to just happen just by virtue of generations passing and other generations coming and getting indoctrinated into this mindset. So anyway, just a thought.
Yeah, no, you're bringing
the enemy's very subtle in that sense.
Again, look again. I'm going to go back to how, and I'm going to talk about how Satan worked through Hitler, because what he did was, Greg, he went into the schools and began to teach the next generation what they needed to believe in so he could do what he wanted.
Yes.
Well, now you're seeing coming into our schools and our kindergartens what the demonic realm needs the next generation to believe in order for the Antichrist to step on the scene and everyone accept him and look for a hero. I mean, I look at some of even
good
the
point.
I mean, the world is looking for a supernatural hero. Look at the Marvel movies and the craze of all these things. And he's going to have, the Antichrist is going to have supernatural power. So it's going to almost kind of like be an Iron Man type thing. He's going to call down lightning from heaven. He'd be Lightning Man. I don't know, Shazam or something, whatever. But the point is, so there's that element being built in. Then there's the whole mindset of, like you said, genders don't matter. God created it male and female, but he's tearing down God's standards and what God designed. You see the focus of our kids are so afraid the planet's going to like destroy itself within 10 years. Greg, they're going to be doing everything they can to bow to anyone on the planet that can show up here in a short amount of time and say, I can save the planet, bow to me. So it would be a generation that would easily say, let's change the Constitution. A generation that would easily say, let's make those older people give up their weapons and basically take away the defense mechanisms of mankind across the globe and get the nations united in, like I said, either canceling their constitutions or changing them so that he can control things. So, yes, if you get the masses of the next generation, basically the one generation before it, Greg, they're outnumbered and they're all dying out. And as soon as they die out, you've got free reign. So, definitely. You know, I want to start the second half with the next thing I want to discuss. And Greg, so before we get into articles, the second half, I want to talk a little bit about what's some special news. It's dealing with Israel. Before we get into all the articles, I want to talk about some cool things that God did through Israel that I want to share with our listeners as we get into the second half, because I didn't quite get to that. But I think it's too much fun and too good to share. And one of them you don't even know. I shared one of them with you. But some fun stuff as we get ready to head into.
You're always holding things back.
I do. But see, it's got to be fun for you, too. Don't you get to have fun at Signs of the Times like everybody else?
It's always a pleasure.
Yes. Well, okay. Well, let's see. Is that because
you
work here? Yeah.
Or work for Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, that terrorist organization, Chick-fil-A. And they probably have guns hidden in their kitchen.
Is that a real story,
chicken,
by the way?
Sorry.
Because they say my pleasure.
Maybe.
Oh,
I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, we are going to talk about Israel and Ezekiel and some pestilence, plagues, and church news, apostasy church, regular church, and some good news. Finally, we're going to get to some good news.
Yes, we are.
Fantastic. Signs of the Times continues right after Israel in the News. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
WIAMLP
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
From the headquarters of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews in Jerusalem, this is Israel in the News. I'm Bob Sauer. Hezbollah forces launched an attack on an Israel Defense Forces base in northern Israel on Sunday, though Israel later reported that the attack was a failure and that no Israeli casualties were sustained. According to JNS News, the IDF faked a large-scale evacuation of wounded soldiers by propping dummies on stretchers and pretending to airlift them to safety. Hezbollah believed that the attack had been successful and their forces retreated. Meanwhile, Israel moved its own forces in a counterstrike on Hezbollah targets in Lebanon. The Trump administration dropped a list of Iranian backers and suppliers on Wednesday, warning strict enforcement for anyone who does business in support of Iran's terror network. Fox's Brian Hook at the State Department.
The Department of the Treasury today designated more than 25 entities and individuals and 11 vessels. Those who engage in transactions with these entities, individuals, and vessels are now exposed to U.S. sanctions. This program gives individuals an incentive to work with the United States to bring terrorists to justice and to prevent acts of terrorism globally.
Following the U.S.'s latest announcement to penalize those who support Iran's terror campaign, President Trump warned that there will be consequences for noncompliance.
Iran has tremendous potential, and I can't imagine they're going to want to go through what they're going to have to go through if they want to do it the hard way. So we'll see what happens.
A spike in anti-Semitic attacks in New York over the past week. According to Israel's Haaretz News, three Orthodox men were violently attacked in stone-throwing attacks in Brooklyn. Meanwhile, in Queens, a club was vandalized with swastikas and anti-Semitic slurs. International Fellowship of Christians and Jews President Yael Eckstein appeared on the Mike Huckabee Show last weekend, speaking with longstanding friend of Israel, Mike Huckabee, on the importance of the fellowship's partnership with Christians around the world.
The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews is bringing Jews home to Israel, just as Isaiah and the prophets spoke about bringing them in gathering from all four corners of the earth home to the Holy Land. We build bomb shelters, security drones, and do whatever we can on behalf of Christians around the world who love Israel to give a tangible message that the people of Israel are not alone.
This has been Israel in the News, a weekly news summary presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Learn how you can help needy Jews in Israel during the High Holy Days by visiting israelinthenews.org. That's israelinthenews.org. I'm Bob Sauer.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Along with Pastor Mark Kirk, I'm Greg Hilt, and this is the second half of Signs of the Times for Friday, September 6th, 2019. It's our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news. You can hit us up at thesigns.org for everything on our program, or tweet us your questions or comments at prophecyhelp is our Signs of the Times Twitter handle.
Yeah, that's a great way. Through Twitter,
yeah. You can tweet. All right, before I get to Israel articles, you have an Israel story. Actually,
yes.
You've got two.
Yes, they're all tied together, but I want to share them because this is just cool. You know, we think about the biblical stories of how God did amazing things to the children of Israel and their military.
Yes, yes.
God still does that today. And we could go back and talk about the wars of Israel to see how God has done these amazing, just miracles with the children of Israel. Now, they think it's them, so there's some pride there, but we know it's God. And there's a neat one that happened this week you need to know about that is so cool to me, and that is Iran has been trying to sneak in all the materials they need to take all their missiles and weapons that they have in Lebanon with Hezbollah and Syria and then in the Gaza and make them smart bombs. Right now, they just kind of shoot these things. They land wherever, and they hope they hit something ever so often. But they want to make them to where they literally can follow GPS coordinates, zero in, and go in and strike certain targets in Israel. And that, of course, would make them much more lethal and much more deadly, which is something God is not going to allow to happen because he's protecting them. So they snuck in this past week, and I know they were destroyed this past week. When they snuck them in, I don't know. They snuck in the GPS equipment and all the other equipment, very technical and very hard to get a hold of, and very hard to sneak in, into Syria, Iran did, which they were going to distribute from Syria over into Hezbollah, Lebanon, other areas, Gaza, whatever, to update all their missiles with this GPS smart bomb technology. Well, Israel, God revealed it to Israel, to the Israeli military, what they were doing. But Israel wanted to go in and destroy it in a way that, again, was stealth, so they could get in and get out without having any opposition or any shot down or anything that goes with that, that kind of stuff. So what Israel did was somehow they got a couple of Iranian drones. Now, why is that important? Here's the thing. Any other drone that flies in Russian or Iranian or Syrian territory, they're going to do their best to shoot it down. If it's an American drone, if it's an Israeli drone especially, or any drone, they shoot them down. But if it's a Russian drone or a Syrian, they don't really have drones, but Iranian drone, at least I don't think they do, Iranian drone, they let them fly. The people don't shoot them down. The military doesn't shoot them down because they're the good guy. Well, little did Iran know that Israel had captured a couple of Iranian drones, and they programmed them so they could use them, and they flew those Iranian drones across the border into Syria, over to the area where these GPS coordinate devices and everything were being held to put on all the missiles that that Iran had to fire toward Israel. And nobody thought anything strange. They saw them, no doubt, flying. I'm sure the radar picked it up. All that happened, they didn't shoot them down. They didn't see them as a threat. They weren't worried about them in any way because, again, this was friendly fire, friendly. This is one of our guys, so to speak. But they didn't realize Israel was controlling them. So Israel flies these drones in there that are weaponized, and they blow up the facilities and these places where the GPS and all these things, they completely destroyed their ability to make all these missiles into smart bombs, totally caught Iran and everyone else off of guard, which, again, God always does this stuff. It's so exciting to see. And now not only did they destroy their ability to make their missiles into smart bombs and smart missiles, but they set them back who knows how long in trying to get new equipment and then resmuggled it into Iran to start the process all over. So, you know, look, you say, yeah, the Israeli military and their intelligence, the Mossad, they're so good. No, look, I know they're very good at what they do, but this is supernatural stuff. This is God stuff. You can't write, this is like a novel. This is like a spy book you would write and read somewhere in the New York's bestsellers list, you know, Israel takes Iranian drones, flies in thinking they're the friend and blows something up and then sets them back all this time and they're weaponry against them. So just amazing. But now the second thing I want to add, Greg, that I didn't tell you about beforehand was when they did that, they knew that Hezbollah in the north was hiding near the border, and they knew that if they gave them an opportunity to strike, they would strike. And they were basically kind of pulling them out of their positions and seeing if they would strike, and knowing they probably would, and then, you know, so they know what they're dealing with as far as what they'll do, what they won't do. And they sent a fake ambulance into the line of fire. Hezbollah saw it, fired rockets, and blew up the what they thought was an ambulance. Israel, they were prepared. It had fake people, and nobody was in it. But they came in with stretchers and had guys get on them and carried away fake wounded people and this kind of thing. And, you know, and so Hezbollah is looking at this going, we killed this many and we wounded that many. And they go on there all over their news and Hezbollah and whatever, announcing and celebrating all the regions. We killed this many Israelis and that many are injured. We have video of them carrying them off. And then they had all those people they had video of standing there waving at them, basically saying, we tricked you guys. We were just going to see what you would do. And you made fools out of yourself. We made fools out of you and nobody was hurt. But now we know what you'll do when you have the opportunity and we're ready for you at any time. I mean, it was like, they were humiliated. Iran was humiliated by the drone strikes. Then they were humiliated through Hezbollah and this fake attack thing. They have embarrassed these guys so bad. And Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, who's connected to Iran, came out outraged. We will get revenge. We will destroy Israel. Israel's making a fool out of these guys. And I just want to say, you need to be aware of that. I want you to see what God is doing to the nation of Israel. It is so cool, but it's not Israel. It's God. And it just shows God's hand watching over them and giving them great wisdom for battle, making their enemies fools. And again, just showing that God is the defender of the nation of Israel. So I wanted to share that because it's too much fun.
Well, I hate to break it to you, Pastor Mark.
Uh-oh.
But Israel in the news already shared that story at the top of the hour.
When I went to the restroom?
When you went to the restroom.
Oh, my goodness.
And what they said was they used dummies.
Yeah, they had dummies.
They used dummies on the stretchers or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They essentially the same. So, sorry, I know. So it's kind of I know.
Here. See, that's what you get for going to the restroom. I should never have done that. I shouldn't have gone to the restroom.
Yeah, that's what happens. You miss all the good stuff.
Well, did they tell about the Iranian drones that went in and blew up?
No, they did not.
Okay, so we did have one new exciting, fun thing.
Yes.
Okay, well, that also lets our listeners know I'm not making this stuff up.
All right.
And by by the way, I knew it was dummies. I said people got on it, but I remember in the report it was dummies, and yes. I said people, I apologize. So they corrected me, so that's good. But that was still fun. All right, so that was still fun. Yeah, okay.
All right. All right, let's go to breaking Israel news. Facing tensions on multiple fronts, is Israel on the verge of an all-out war? Well it sure sounds like it, doesn't it?
Well, people are saying that, but I don't think so. But let's read this article. The big news in Israel is not that Iran attempted to send kamikaze drones into Israel territory last week, or that Israel targeted the terrorist cell in Syria. These are not completely out of the ordinary or even unexpected. Rather, what was quite unusual, an occurrence took place in central Israel when Prime Minister Netanyahu ordered officials from the security establishment to brief his chief rival, former Israeli Defense Forces Chief Benny Gantz, who serves as leader of the Blue and White Party. He goes, why would you tell your political enemy what's going on with secret stuff that you don't have to tell him? Because, again, they need to unite as a nation. He says, why? It's a rare move to brief a rival. But Israel may be readying itself for a major conflict on all fronts. So the bottom line is because they see the positioning of Syria, Iran, they're thinking they may be trying to do something. And, Greg, part of it was the weaponry for GPS. They thought they were going to come and do this major missile attack.
Yeah.
But now that they've thwarted that, I think there's some relief saying, you know what, it's not looking like war right now. It could have been war had it not been for that. And, of course, it can break out at any time over there. But it looks like they've diffused it by their attacks. But that's why people are saying, you know, it could be something that could happen. But I personally believe that we're not going to see it happen because of Israel neutralizing their ability to do so.
Always dovetails nicely into Ezekiel 38 and 39 news.
Yes.
This is from Fox News. Just dated September 3rd. Intelligence sources are saying that Iran is building a new classified military base in Syria.
Yeah.
I mean, how many of these do they have now?
This is the first official classified military base. They put all kinds of little bases and little buildings, but I think this is one of the first moves they've done on something this big of a scale. But my question is, how long will it last until Israel takes it out or neutralizes it? Iran has established a new military base, as you said, Greg, in Syria, the article says, plans to house thousands of troops. At the location, according to multiple Western intelligence sources, the classified Iranian project called Imam Ali Compound. How classified could it be? They're telling you what it is, where it is, the name of it. Anyway, they're not very good at hiding this stuff. was approved by top leadership in Tehran as being completely the Iranian Al-Quds force. Using a civilian satellite company, Fox News verified the information. Using a civilian satellite, these guys, it's like, what's going on here?
You know, I picture the old Bugs Bunny.
There's Three Stooges.
I picture the old Bugs Bunny cartoons with the Acme, Acme military base, whatever.
That's what a military base Stop it. Anyway, analysts at the Image Satellite International, ISI, who reviewed the images say the precision ground guided missiles could be housed at five different newly constructed buildings, which, by the way, those precision guiding instruments were just destroyed. And they're surrounded by large dirt mounds. The images show in the northwest part of the base 10 additional storehouses with less external protection, as well as the new buildings and missile storage structures. The analysis say the construction will be completed over the next few months. And again, just interesting to see how Israel's ahead of them and already taking out what they wanted to use those forces for anyway. So keep your eye on that. We'll keep you posted.
From Israel National News, Turkish President Recep Erdogan asked the question, and I hear it in a whiny voice as I look at this question.
Right.
Why can't we have nuclear weapons, too?
Exactly. Everybody's got one.
How come I can't have any?
Yeah,
How come I can't have any nuclear weapons?
Again, but this is the bad thing about allowing other nations to get nuclear weapons. America allowed Israel to when we were in power because, again, they're a friend, they're an ally. But now when you start letting Iran and then Saudi Arabia wants them.
And it was a Jewish scientist that invented the whole thing
to begin
with.
Oppenheimer, that's right. Yeah. So, again, anyway, Turkish president said it's unacceptable for us to be denied nuclear weapons. We just want to destroy the world. No, I added that. But it's unacceptable, he said, for us to be denied nuclear weapons. We want the same protection as Israel. The Erdogan president said on Wednesday it was unacceptable for nuclear-armed states to forbid Ankara from obtaining its own nuclear weapons, though he did not say whether Turkey had plans to obtain them. Some countries, I quote, have missiles with nuclear warheads, not one or two, but they tell us we can't have them. This I cannot accept, he told his ruling AK party members in the eastern city of Sivas. Again, all this is, I want to leave this in here because it shows you that the nations around Israel are looking for excuses to be able to arm up and have more ability to destroy Israel, which we know they'll try to do in the last days. So, again, keep your eye on that as well.
Yes. All right. The only thing for pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption this week is really what's happened here on the East Coast of the United States, and that's Hurricane Dorian.
Yeah.
And the destruction there in the Bahamas and all of that. I don't know if this is just part of the fallen world or this is some sort of, it's related to something prophetic.
I left it in here because, again, not that we're necessarily in a weather contraction. I don't see that necessarily. This is hurricane season. But I did want to leave it in here because you're seeing the hurricanes, Greg, being more intense and acting in very bizarre ways. And remember, the earth's going to be groaning more and more, the Bible says, as we get toward the last days. So you're going to see all kinds of bizarre volcanoes, bizarre hurricanes, bizarre earthquakes. For example, last year we had one, and this one did the same thing. Dorian literally paused over the Bahamas for almost over a day.
Yeah.
Now, think about that. Usually we watch hurricanes, and they just move right along, and everything gets destroyed, and they keep going, and they're done. These hurricanes, now, last year we had one. This year we've already had Dorian literally just stay in this slow pattern for days, and they'll float over one area, and for whatever the reason, the winds of the earth don't move them along. I personally believe it is a greater intensity that's happening, a greater oddity in the environment happening because the earth is groaning more. Things are happening environmentally. I don't know that I understand it, but this is odd behavior, and now it's happened more than once. You may see more of these especially destructive storms, especially destructive volcanoes, especially destructive earthquakes as the earth groans more and more toward the Lord's return. So we expect earthquakes during, we expect hurricanes during hurricane season. But you're going to see oddities in them like this. That's why I want just an honorable mention. Don't even need to read it, just honorable mention.
Gotcha. All right. I don't know. Nowadays, I think I need to separate church, church segment, from just the church segment.
Apostasy.
And then the apostasy church.
Yeah, you're not segment. Kidding. Apostate church. Absolutely.
I'm going to find a theme song for the apostasy church.
This music's too happy for the apostate church.
It's too happy for the apostate church.
You know, this is...
This is especially grieving. LifeNews.com reporting there are quote-unquote, and we're going to put Christian in quotations
here. Yeah, because they do.
Quote-unquote Christian pastors blessing an abortion clinic, singing hallelujah, bless this room.
Unbelievable. These are obviously not believers. They're obviously not pastors. These are false teachers, false pastors. This is the enemy. But it's amazing how bold the enemy is to make something so evil look like it's righteous. Again, but it's just like Satan to do this. The article says, how can a person bless the violent destruction, I would say murder, of a baby's life? Though hard to imagine, it does happen. And some religious leaders do it in the name of Christianity and Judaism. Earlier this summer, a group of clergy gathered at the Whole Woman's Health Abortion Facility in North Austin, Texas, to bless its life-destroying work, according to the Texas Observer. Listen to this. About 20 so-called Christian and Jewish leaders who gathered for the event sang, hallelujah, do not fear, you are loved, bless this room, bless this womb? Why? What are they talking about? I guess they're saying it's a blessing that you killed the baby and got it out of the womb? You would think a blessing on a womb would be blessing the baby. It is so tragic and so evil. And they did this in the waiting room of the abortion facility. Just evil, Greg. Evil, evil, evil.
We've talked on this program, Pastor Mark, many times, or actually you have, and given us the biblical understanding of the Old Testament practice of human sacrifice to the god Molech.
Yeah.
You described the Molech statue.
Yeah.
That
right.
was created, and how the ritual using the statue to sacrifice a baby is eerily similar to an abortion procedure. But my question for you is, with that in mind, did that procedure, was it preceded with song? Was it preceded with dance, a parade, any kind of formality?
Yeah.
Because that's what came to my mind when you're talking about these people gathered in some sort of joyous thing before the abortion clinic.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, Greg, because what they would do is, I guess it was their form of worship. They would all just, in worship of Molech, they would all gather around and make loud noises, beating drums. And they did that while the baby was laid on the burning arms of Molech and pushed into the fire. So
to drown out the cries.
Yeah, it was to honor Molech and to bring him glory, but also to drown out the cries of the baby so it didn't seem as horrid. Now, what's interesting about that is here they are trying to drown out the noise of the murder and the violence in that abortion clinic room with their songs, But the reality is God hears the cry of every little baby coming from that room. And not only they will be held accountable, anyone going along with it one day will face God Almighty and be judged for such evil activity.
Mm. All right, next article, jpost.com. A pastor says that the Messiah is almost here, and Orthodox Jews and evangelicals know it.
Yeah, this is interesting. You're seeing more and more Jewish people, Orthodox Jews and rabbis, saying, we do believe the Messiah. It's upon us. It's here. So there's an odd agreement between the evangelicals and the rabbis, although we believe in two different messiahs. They believe one hasn't come yet, and we know he has in the form of Jesus Christ. But they equally believe, the article says, that the world's on the cusp of the Battle of Armageddon, and that we're about to see the Messiah, said Dr. Jeffrey D. Johnson. In an interview with the Jerusalem Post, Johnson said that the reality of devout Jewish and Christians sharing this common bond, he said, should cause us to pause and say, oh my word, there's hope here. In a world of great despair, there's hope in the Messiah. Specifically, he said, the common bond is in the belief that one day soon there will be a war as described in Ezekiel 38 and 39, in which Israel will battle a coalition led by Persia, Iran, which is considered today to be Iran. And through this battle, the Messiah will come. He admitted that while there may be some theological differences, about who the Messiah is, the narratives are strikingly similar. And yes, they are, other than we believe Jesus is the Messiah. The good news is that there are a few seminaries that are now beginning to emphasize the Jewish roots of Christianity. It's sad to me they weren't already doing that, Johnson said, which helps to counter those who believe in replacement theology. So because the seminaries have gotten away from Israel as a real fulfilled prophecy and the Jews as really God's people, you're not getting the full story. What he's saying is now some of the seminaries are getting back to the Jewish roots and saying, you know what, maybe God's not done with Israel. So it's very interesting to watch what's happening here.
Yeah, that is very interesting. Uh-huh. Okay, well, as show producer, I took the liberty of rearranging some things.
You can do that.
Because this next story was under church news, but if it's real, I think it's good news.
Yeah.
And this will start off our good news segment here from ChristianPost.com. Apparently, Benny Hinn has renounced the prosperity gospel.
Yeah.
And says that the Holy Ghost is just fed up with it.
Yeah, this is a great, encouraging article if true, but there is a disclaimer I'll say here, because as I read it, he wordsmithed.
Okay.
And I want to point that out as I read the article, but I'm hoping for the best here. Again, Benny Hinn, a very famous false teacher of the prosperity gospel, but now he's in a sense repenting, it appears, to some degree, declaring the Holy Ghost is fed up with it. Controversial televangelist Benny Hinn, formerly one of the most aggressive proponents of the prosperity gospel, has for the first time in his career delivered a full-throated rejection of the practice and made him and his family millions. That made him and his family millions. Speaking to his followers during a Facebook Live broadcast on Monday night, which was the first highlighted by Larry Reed live, Hinn, who has long been a lightning rod for criticism for his support of the theology, declared the gospel is not for sale. I'm sorry to say the prosperity has gone a little crazy, and I'm correcting my own theology, and you need to know it all. Because when I read the Bible, I don't see the Bible with the same eyes I did 20 years ago, Hinn said as his followers rejoiced. And I quote, I think it hurts the gospel, so I'm making this statement for the first time in my life, and frankly, I don't care what people think about me. So up to this point, great. And again, I'm encouraged by this. Hinn's outright rejection of the prosperity gospel comes just 2 months after his nephew, Costi Hinn, which I've seen his video he's done, which is great. He's a true believer.
He's legit, yeah.
Revealed in his new book, God, Greed, and the Prosperity Gospel, how truth overwhelms a life built on lies, how his family exploited millions around the world with the prosperity gospel and often traded so-called miracles for money. In 2018, Hinn admitted that he has grown older and come to understand the Bible more. He realized that some of the things he learned from the preachers when he was growing up aren't biblical, including the prosperity gospel. So really, he did make overall general statement renouncing it, which is very encouraging. But in the article, he mentions more than once, and I'll just bring this up. I don't think it's right to ask for people to just give a $1,000 gift. I think it's wrong. He mentioned it again. It's wrong to ask for a $1,000 gift. It almost sounded like he zeroed in on the $1,000 gift thing being wrong, but maybe there was still some levity for something in there.
Maybe for 500.
I hope that he truly has.
Absolutely.
And time will tell. If he's truly discarded this false doctrine, time will tell, and it's going to be really a great thing for him. I mean, I rejoice for his soul and for the church and people that follow him.
Absolutely. Pastor Mark, here in the U.S., it's September, so that means it's football season.
It is.
And these are a couple of really cool football-related good news stories. The first one from ChristianHeadlines.com. As a matter of fact, both of them are from ChristianHeadlines.com. The coach of the number one college team in the country, Clemson, says that his purpose is to glorify God.
Yeah, this is great. Well, I knew he was a Christian, but he's being very vocal about it. The head coach of the top-ranked college football team, defending national champions, says life isn't all about sports. Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney said during his press conference this week he wants his team to focus on one word for this year, purpose. But Swinney, whose team is ranked number one in the major polls, defines purpose differently than many football fans might think. My word is purpose this year. My purpose as a man, my purpose as a father, my purpose as a husband, and then our purpose as a program. And then also helping my staff and my players find and fulfill their purpose. I'm just really convicted of that. We've had a lot of success. I'm going into year 11, but we've stayed true to what we are the whole way. I know what my purpose as a man is, and that is, and he sums it up, to glorify God. Good for you, Dabo.
Yeah.
That's to be a great husband and father, and it's to use the football game to equip young people for life. It's that simple. Again, it goes on to talk more about him and his career and his players and everything, but he says Swinney never has been shy about discussing his faith. Following last year's national championship victory, he told the TV audience, and I quote, "For me personally, joy comes from focusing on Jesus, others, and yourself, then yourself." So again, a good man, a man who's honoring the Lord, and he's being vocal about his faith. And if he wasn't a winning football coach, he probably would be taking a lot more heat, which I'm sure he's taking some, but good for him. And the bold witness is always a great encourager for us.
Our final article out the door for today, Pastor Mark.
Yes.
We go from college to the pro ranks in the NFL, where we find Saints quarterback Drew Brees is urging students to live out your faith and bring your Bible to school.
And I just saw today he's being attacked by publicly for making the stand.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
Yep, Drew Brees, Saints quarterback, is encouraging students to live out their faith and bring their Bibles October 3rd, an event sponsored by Focus on the Family. Brees, a Super Bowl winning quarterback and the NFL's all-time leading passer, recorded a video to promote Bring Your Bible to School Day, an annual event that will be held October 3rd this year. And I quote, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we live by faith, not by sight," Breeze said in the video. So I want to encourage you to live out your faith, bring your Bible on school day, to share God's word with friends. You are not alone. You know, that goes a long way. Somebody that kids look up to, making a bold stand like that and saying it, Greg, I just think it's great. You know, I commend Dabo Swinney. I commend Drew Brees. And we need people like this that are not ashamed of their faith and not afraid to speak the truth boldly for the name of Christ. So this is good news, and I like having these good news stories now, because we tell so many bad news about all the things that are happening prophetically. Although we know it's going to ultimately end in good news, it's good to be able to put those good news stories out there, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes. And so, again, you know, with that good news, with the time we have left, let me remind you of the good news that you're loved. You know, I don't care what you're involved in right now. If you're listening to this and you're a Christian, or you say you're not a Christian, you stumbled across this station, you're living in what you know is wrong before God. Here's the good news. The Bible says Jesus loves you and he will forgive you. However, there's a stipulation. You have to believe by faith that he died for you on the cross and paid for your sins. And if you believe that and then confess, you got two things. You got to confess, three things. Believe, confess your sin, and repent. A lot of people believe and they confess, but they keep on living in their sin. If you want to be saved and go to heaven, you want your sins forgiven, believe, you tell him in prayer right now, you believe he died for you, you confess your sins to him, ask forgiveness of those sins, but then you take that next step that many people leave out, and it keeps people from the kingdom of God. Repent, which means turn from your sin. Stop doing what you know is wrong. Turn to Jesus and follow him. And the Bible says if you do that, you will be saved. You will have your place in heaven. You will go with us all in the rapture of the church, where we'll have a 7-year feast with Jesus in the air while God is judging the earth during the great tribulation. And then we'll all come back and rule and reign with him forever, for 1,000 years here on the earth and forever in the kingdom of God.
Maybe on one of these episodes, Pastor Mark, we'll talk about the power to repent.
Yeah.
Because there is power to repent.
That's
when
right.
You give your life to the Lord. You don't have to do it, and you can't do it in your flesh, but you can do it through him. Anyway, thank you, Pastor Mark, folks. Thanks for listening. TheSigns.org and at Prophecy Help on Twitter. Have a great week, and we'll be back next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times.